woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore. On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before. And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, impacts every day. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Got a throat thing going on. A little throat thing. Having said that, the first half hour of the show, not great, so you better be really good.
Really? What happened?
That's me.
Tracks already?
No, it's me. I did a drop at O'Hare this morning. You know, I Uber in my spare time. And I didn't. I'm the only one on the planet apparently didn't realize Monday mornings at Uber at O'Hare were busy. It was nuts. It's like Friday night on the Kennedy or the Eisenhower. It's nuts.
So a little tardy this morning?
Well, no, I rolled in right at the top of the show, which, of course, is about the time I normally roll in. But, you know, my man has a throat, as Sammy Davis Jr. used to say.
Yeah.
You know, worked all weekend, had to work with Dave yesterday, and he was now hungover. Big surprise there.
No, that's not true.
So, you
Doc,
know,
that's not true.
Hawks lost. I got problems, Doc. I got a lot of issues.
Yeah.
But let's talk
we'll
about.
Work through some of them.
Let's talk about what really matters. You know, we lost Kevin Paul to the Ro Khan show because Kevin turned out to be, you know, a star. And he's doing great. But in honor of Kevin Paul, Doc wanted to do a food segment in part today, and I thought that was a really good idea. So talk to me about food.
Yeah, you know, we always heard Kevin's, you know, reviews of all these fast food places.
Sure.
So I thought,
sure,
you know, let's take the medicine side of food and tell you kind of what's going on, what's new in the health-related field about food. And some interesting things happened last week. Probably one of the more interesting things, I think, happened on Friday, where the FDA approved the ability for manufacturers to add folic acid to masa flour. And you say, wow, that really sounds interesting, Dr. Mose.
Well, it's interesting. You know, you're going to make it interesting because you're going to tell us why.
Yeah. Well, folic acid is a B9 vitamin, very important in pregnant females to prevent things like spina bifida and other neural tube defects. So very important. As a matter of fact, someone gets pregnant, it's one of the first medications we're going to put them on is a multivitamin with high folic acid. What we did in this country in 1998 is we put folic acid in almost all of the other grains and rices and pastas to make sure that we all got enough folic acid in our diet. One of the ones they overlooked was the masa flour, which is made to use tortillas. Because of this, we saw a big increase in Hispanic neural tube defects in their children. More cases of spina bifida. 2012, March of Dimes says, hey, we got to add folic acid to masa flour. And the FDA finally approved it last Friday.
So, right, so it is a big deal.
It is a huge deal. And people aren't really going to know it. But, you know, for us in the medical field, it's kind of the geeky thing. But it's kind of cool that it finally occurred. And now we're going to get some protection for these young babies that are going to be born many less with spina bifida.
Well, you know, you talk about the Zika virus and direct effect on moms and babies and stuff. This is a big deal. Folic acid in leafy green vegetables, fruits, beans, and rich bread, cereals, grain products. Pretty much most of the stuff you eat, I guess, right?
That's where you find it. You know, and pregnant females sometimes will not have access to those foods or don't have access to those foods or they're not eating.
Or not enough of them.
Exactly. You can eat some, but we really need to make sure that you have a pretty substantial dose of folic acid through pregnancy. So it's great news. I'm glad the FDA finally moved on it. Kind of disappointed it took them as long as it did, but they moved on it, which is great.
It is hard to believe a government agency took a long time to get something done.
Right.
Nestle's in the food business. Nestle's in the food medicine business.
Yeah. So Nestle's came out last week as well and said, hey, you know, we're going to put a whole bunch of money into something called medicinal foods. So we think of Nestle's and people think of Nestle Crunch Bars and some of the candies, but they're also big in the health-related field. They make some great supplements for people who have low nutritional intake and who need high-calorie intake at certain times, chemotherapy patients, patients after surgery who need more nutritional input for wound healing. What they're looking at now is going into the medicinal food business. So instead of you taking a blood pressure pill, you are going to take a powdered drink. So what they're doing is they're looking at the genetics.
So like blood pressure, Nestle's Quick?
Exactly. Lower cholesterol, Nestle's Quick.
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
It is unbelievable. And they feel that as we age, this is just going to be a huge, huge business. So they're investing a ton of money to look at the genetics of all these diseases and try to figure out what food they can make that will replace a medicine that you're currently taking. And if you think about that...
It's pretty smart, actually.
It is. It's very smart. You're going to get your nutritional input. You're not going to have to pay for your medication. And hopefully, it's going to be a more healthy way to get the medicine in you than the pill forms that we're taking now.
Well, that would be the question, right? The distribution of it. In other words, taking the pill, I know it's going into my body and it's directly made to impact the system in a certain way. Does the processing of the food with the medicine as part of the food, does that impact the delivery system for the medicine? And that's the questions that I suppose they have to answer, right?
Yep. That's the uphill battle they have right now, is how are they going to prove some of this? So will we see it in our lifetime? Hopefully, but it is going to be an uphill battle there to get that all that information, do those tests, and to prove that their thought process is correct.
All right, what about all the calorie listings on the fast food boards? You know, you like to roll into a fast food joint, you go through the drive-thru, you just want to order your crappy food and you don't want to feel worse about it. You want to wait till after you eat it that you feel like you're a terrible person. And the fast food calorie thing, you know, if you look at those, you're going to go, wow, I really don't need to do this. Was that the goal when they originally put those calorie things up to make people be smarter about it?
Well, that was the goal. So you hit it right on the head there. If you remember, not even a couple of years ago, the calories weren't up there. So now you look up there and you see what your Big Mac has or your Whopper or whatever you're ordering, and next to it is the calorie thing and next to it is the price. The hope was that people would look at that and say, okay, now I'm going to make a wise choice based on the calories, knowing how many calories I need to take in a day, how many should I have in this meal. That's kind of backfired. It really didn't change. It really didn't make much of an impact.
Well, but isn't that part of it, though? I don't knock McDonald's. McDonald's is one of America's great companies.
Yep.
And there are choices you can make in McDonald's. You can't eat at McDonald's 3 times a day, 7 days a week. You just can't. But if you go to McDonald's occasionally, you're not a terrible person.
Oh,
now,
no.
Now, if you engage in this McDonald's all-you-can-eat fries story that's out today, that's a different story. But McDonald's gets knocked. But by the time you roll into the drive-thru lane, you've already made a choice that you're going to eat there. And there's a limited number of menu choices, right? So it's not like you're not going to order something. So I'm not surprised that these haven't had huge impacts. People are going to go, okay, I know I'm eating a quarter pounder. I'm going to do it anyway.
I actually look at the calories for Starbucks. You know, if you go in and if you want oatmeal or a breakfast sandwich, I will look and see which has fewer calories and sometimes get that.
Do they put, I don't drink coffee, but at Starbucks, do they put the calories with the drinks too?
They normally do it with the food items. You know, if you get breakfast sandwich,
right. Knew what they were doing with the drinks, then there'd be problems.
That's a good point. I think they do it with the foo-foo drinks as well, like the caramel macchiatos. I think they do it, yeah.
Right, but you get basic numbers because you can't really figure out what's added or not added.
Yeah, because you might add different, you know, two shots or something like that. Yeah.
Doc, you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm just listening
you know,
to you guys.
My cousin, though, always says, Doc, that she's a personal trainer. She says you can't exercise off a bad diet.
That's interesting. That's an interesting way to put it. Yeah, well, you probably negate some of it, but you're not doing yourself any favors, I suppose, right?
No, and actually what you just said right there is exactly what they're trying to do in Britain and in England right now, is try to teach people that you can't, or teach people, hey, you're going to make this food choice? Let me tell you how long it's going to take you to work this off.
All right, now hold that thought because I want to come back to this. Yep. Mary's got to do traffic, and then we'll come back with Dr. Most in a second. Dr. Kevin Most, later the story of all-you-can-eat fries at McDonald's. What a terrible idea that is. In the middle of this conversation about food and what to do with it. So, Doc, if I understand what you're saying correctly, I'd roll in to order the Big Mac, say. Did you know, by the way, I've never had a Big Mac?
I don't think I have either.
In my entire life, I've never had a Big Mac.
Never?
Not once, no. You know, I'd have a quarter pounder with cheese a couple times a year.
Yeah.
But not a Big Mac. So anyway, that's not the point of this. Next to the Big Mac, it would say it'll take 45 minutes of cardio to work this off. Lard ass, it would say something like that.
Exactly. So what they're saying in England is, and they have the same problem we have here, you know, increasing rates of obesity, increasing rates of diabetes, You know, it's saying, hey, we did all these things. We tried to post calories. That didn't work. We tried to decrease trans fats. That hasn't worked. We tried to decrease sugar. Let's put a little information there that actually might hit home, because seeing how many calories are in something you eat doesn't mean anything to anybody unless, like Andrea, you just said, you just look to choose something lower. You know, if we knew exactly what that meant and the pain that you would have to go through to burn that off, we think that people will make smarter choices.
Will these restaurants ever go for that? Because it's just hilarious to me to think you go into Taco Bell and there's the picture of the quesalupa or whatever you're going to order.
Yep.
And next to it is like a little cartoon running man that says, are you sure?
Exactly. So in England, they've been working on this. It came out last week that this isn't going to end up being voluntary. They know that now. So now they're asking the government to step in and say, you must do this.
Wow.
Just like they said, you know, you must post these. And, you know, that for someone that has a national health policy and has socialized medicine, essentially, if I'm the government, I probably want that. You know, I want people to start to make smarter choices.
Well, what do they know in England? They eat mushy peas, for crying out loud.
Very true.
All right, before... I was going to say, before we run out of time, yep. I want you to make sure you hit this food fragile households topic,
yep.
Because these are kids who are not getting enough nutrition in the day to grow up and be healthy, and we're creating a generation of people that are going to need. It's your old adage, Doc, pay me now or pay me later. We either take care of nutrition now or we're going to pay for it down the road.
Absolutely. And we some people don't even realize that this happens. People sitting next to you in church, the kids that go to school with your kids, many, I mean, 48 million people live in what we now determine to be called food insecure homes. That means that they either don't have enough food, or run out towards the end of the month. We used to say, how many people go to bed hungry in this country? And now we're looking at it saying, you know, it's not so much that, it's really how many people, how many households do we not have enough food that we can nutritiously feed these individuals so that they can stay healthy? So we're talking about Big Macs and all that. We need to realize that there's a bigger problem here, and that we still have many people, 48 million people in this country, can't get enough food.
Who do we donate to? Local food bank, that type of thing?
Yeah, you know, there's, and if you have any local food banks that you know, I mean, out here, our medical staff, we donate to two food banks, People's Resource Center in Wheaton and the West Chicago Food Bank. And I'll tell you, when you go into these places, and even if you're, you know, we give them a pretty substantial check every year, but when you go into these people, I can tell you I've made a friendship with a guy in West Chicago, Ken Walker, probably one of the greatest guys in the world, heart of gold, and the things that he does and the impact that he makes on these individuals who can't afford food is unbelievable. And we also have to realize that there's a lot of companies behind this. You know, Andrea was just talking about Starbucks. Starbucks announced last week 50 million meals are going to donate over the next 5 years. So those scones that are sitting there and those rolls, as they get to a point of, hey, you know, we want to take these off, they don't throw them away anymore. They go to a food bank.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask, and I'll let you go on this because we're tight on time. But
yep.
There was always a problem in Chicago specifically for restaurants at the end of the night to be able to donate food that they would toss because it was cooked food that they couldn't use for whatever reason.
Yep. Yeah.
And there was restrictions. You couldn't donate it to a homeless shelter, because for a while restaurants were cited for that. You know, they'd have regular pickups by these shelters. Why can't we figure that problem out?
But that's a tough one. You know, that is one where the, you know.
Wait, is it a will make you sick kind of thing?
Exactly.
It's a health thing, yeah, with the health department.
But why? Isn't that overthinking it?
Miller's Pub years ago used to do that, too. Give all the meat and the roast beef and everything, you know, to, I think, it was one of the
shelters. So the idea is if somebody gets sick at the shelter, they can sue the restaurant?
Hypothetically,
oh,
yeah.
Christ, on a bicycle. Let's get more lawyers involved. Can't we help?
Yeah, you know, really, everyone just out there, a simple $25 donation to your local food bank is going to feed a family of four for 2 to 3 days.
Yeah, I mean, help how you can.
And think about how much you spend going to dinner.
Beat the system. When the system won't help themselves, beat the system. Donate and do something. You feel good about it. And you're right. $25 is a big damn deal.
Yep.
So, all right, buddy. All the best.
You got it. Talk to you soon.
Dr. Kevin Moe, Saving the Show, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Impact every day.